Welcome back to My Comfort Show, a podcast where every 2 weeks I chat about the TV show Gilmore Girls and the joys of watching it for the very first time. My name is Mia and I'm your host. Hey guys, welcome back. I hope January is treating you well. I feel like last weekend I was just really obsessed over trying to finish this crocheted sweater that I was making, and I finished it. I feel like it came out a lot better than I expected, actually, so I'm really happy about it. And I only bring it up just because in this episode I noticed a lot of really pretty sweaters that were knitted. I'm not as good at knitting as I am at crocheting, but the point is I hope that someday I can make something that looks as good as that. So yeah, I hope you all are doing really well, and I can't believe we're almost done with season one. It's crazy. So on that note, why don't I just jump right in? So today we're going to be talking about season one, episode 19, titled Emily in Wonderland. And it aired on April 26, 2001. So there was actually more than a month-long break in between the previous episode and this one. I'm not really sure why, but I thought that was interesting. So we're already like towards the end of April in their world. But also, before we get to the plot, I actually wanted to share a recipe with you guys. It really has nothing to do with the show or anything, but I recently have been making a lot of oatmeal, just having oatmeal more regularly, I guess. And I wanted to share with you guys what I put in it because I was trying to replicate what Trader Joe's puts in their overnight oats. Do you guys know those from Trader Joe's? They're so good, but they're cold, and I don't really like the taste of cold oatmeal. So what I do is I just like cook hot oatmeal, and then I add chia seeds, almond butter, and I even do some chocolate chips, but I'll write the whole recipe down in the description just for fun if you guys want to check it out. And especially if you're a fan of those overnight oats from Trader Joe's, because I feel like they taste pretty similar. They're just like the hot version. Yeah, I just wanted to share that just for fun. So now back to the plot. I don't mean to get too disorganized here, but now that we're back on the plot, I just wanted to remind you all of what happened in our previous episode. So Rory's great-grandmother came to visit, and there was some talk about a trust fund being set up for Rory, but of course that didn't end up happening in the end. Also, Paris and Tristan went on a date, but Tristan basically shut it down afterward and claimed that he only saw her as a friend. We don't see Paris or Tristan at all in this episode, but I am sure we're going to come back to them at some point this season, hopefully for the rest of the season at some point. But yeah, I wanted to mention it because it was something that just really stuck with me. So regardless, getting right into the episode, Emily in Wonderland. So we start out at the family dinner, and Emily and Rory actually decide that they're going to spend Saturday together because Emily had been talking about getting these antique chairs and how she had been searching for so long for these special chairs. She didn't even get the full set. And Rory says, well, do you know of the store Kim's Antiques in Stars Hollow? Because my best friend, her mom runs the store, and Emily had no idea. So now Emily and Rory are going to spend time together in Stars Hollow. Now, a little bit later at Luke's, I assume this is maybe the next day, Rachel shows up. Wasn't expecting to see her again, but she and Luke are still together. And she reveals to Lorelai that she has a photo of Lorelai and Luke when they were sitting next to each other at the festival and talking. Which, okay, that's kind of creepy, but Lorelai is not too thrown off by it. And this whole conversation, This whole conversation is it's a little bit strange just to watch. I think the thing that makes it the most strange is just seeing how normal Lorelai is acting, or how just unfazed she seems to be about the fact that Rachel is talking to her, and Rachel has a photo of her. And not only that, but it's a photo of her talking to Luke, who's Rachel's boyfriend. So it's just all kind of weird how everything is kind of normal. So, of course, it's only normal for now, and then we're going to kind of get into how things start to unravel a little bit and where the tensions really lie. But Rachel also has a photo of the Dragonfly Inn, or it's actually just the old Dragonfly Inn. It's not an inn anymore. And it seems to be abandoned and definitely very run down and would need to be restored a lot. And Lorelai is just immediately intrigued about this inn because she says that she had always been thinking about maybe wanting to get her own inn or run her own place. And this is kind of intriguing to her. It could be an opportunity. So she and Rachel decide to go check it out together later. Now, at the Independence Inn, Suki and Lorelai are talking, and it's all very chaotic, but Suki tells Lorelai that Rune, if you remember Rune from the double date episode, where, you know, where Lorelai was set up with Rune, and he's Jackson's cousin, and he's just not a very cool guy, at least not to Lorelai, and Lorelai actually finds him very annoying, and so Suki reveals that Rune has been staying over at Jackson's house recently, and he won't leave. And it's really because he's actually very down on his luck. He lost his job, he got evicted, and so he needed somewhere to stay and just get back on his feet. And so Suki is hoping that Lorelai will help just revitalize Rune and his career, maybe, and try to get him out of the house, basically. Suki doesn't want Rune hanging around at Jackson's house and just getting in between the two of them. So Lorelai agrees after some convincing that Rune will stay in the potting shed, which is part of the Independence Inn, I believe. It's like maybe a shed on the grounds of the inn, something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. But there, Rune will be able to also work as a handyman at the inn until he sort of earns some more money and then is able to find a place of his own. So that took a lot of convincing for Lorelai, but yeah, I thought, wow, that was pretty generous of her, because that's kind of a tough situation. And I think Lorelai definitely just did that for her friend Suki. But we'll come back to the shed and everything that goes on there in a little bit. Now, Emily, as we said, Emily was going to come visit Rory in Stars Hollow. So she shows up while Rory is home alone, and Rory welcomes her in, and Rory's offering to clean her shoes, and she even gives Emily a pair of sneakers to wear instead. And Emily's just looking around their house, looking in the fridge, maybe for a snack or something to drink, and she just notices that they don't have anything in their fridge. And Rory implies that that's just normal for them. They don't really take care of themselves in the best way, at least not up to Emily's standards. So they end up going to Kim's Antiques together, which, as I understand, that was one of the main incentives for having Emily come visit Stars Hollow. So they go in, and one quote that I really loved, as Emily and Rory are looking at the different objects and pieces of furniture in the store, Emily says to Rory, "Do you like it?" And then Rory says, "Yes." And Emily says, "Then it's something special." And I love that idea that if you connect with something, if you like something, then that is enough to make it special. And it doesn't have to be this super fancy, expensive piece of furniture necessarily. It's just if it's unique and you have some reason to love it, then that's reason enough for it to be something special. So I just really like that, and it really stuck with me. So speaking of which, Emily found a piece of furniture that she really loved and was really surprised that they had such a beautiful piece of furniture in the store. And so Mrs. Kim comes by and they start negotiating, and they're going back and forth. Rory and Lane are kind of watching them go back and forth negotiating, and they say that it's like watching a tennis match. And it really is. I think it really feels like Emily and Mrs. Kim are a good match for each other. And we'll see this later on too when Emily visits the inn and she talks to Michelle, because I really feel like with Michelle and Mrs. Kim, I think I personally would characterize them and as maybe the most kind of hard outer shell, just impenetrable exterior characters, if you know what I mean. They don't really like to, they're just really hard to break down or to get through. And somehow Emily is able to do that. She's able to meet them right where they are. And for example, with Mrs. Kim, she's just really quick on her feet and is able to throw some counter offers back whenever Mrs. Kim gives her an offer for the price. And similarly with Michelle, she's able to converse with him in French. And from what I understood, I think Michelle was being genuine when he seemed really pleased to be talking to her, but you never really know with him, I guess. But yeah, I think in general, it was lovely to see how she got along with two of some very difficult characters in the Stars Hollow universe. Now, actually, just briefly talking about Lane again, there is a small subplot of her. If you guys remember, in one of the previous episodes, I think it might have been the breakup episode, breakup part two, or maybe the one right before that, but when they go to a big party and Lane meets a guy named Henry there and they dance together, they really seem to hit it off. So there is a small subplot in this episode that is just continuing that. And Lane tells Rory that Henry hasn't called her in a little while, and later on he does call her, but she still doesn't really know how he feels about her. And I like that they're continuing this storyline. I hope it's not just some kind of filler or something. I hope that we actually get to see Henry again, or I hope their relationship really gets to... I hope just we get to see more of their relationship. So, fingers crossed. Now, why don't we talk about the shed? So, after going to Kim's Antiques, Rory and Emily go to the shed where Lorelai and Rory actually lived when Rory was much younger. So we're supposed to assume that when Lorelai gave birth, or maybe just around the time when she found out she was pregnant, she ran away and decided to live in this shed. And it is a really, it's kind of run down. It's very just bare bones, tiny shed. And it's definitely not a very pleasant looking place to live. I don't know. It's definitely not a house or anything. And I think the show is trying to make us realize just how, how unfortunate, or maybe how poor they were. I really struggle to say that because I know that this is a point of contention among a lot of Gilmore Girls fans. They just, it is kind of difficult to frame Lorelai and Rory's early life as being in poverty, because Lorelai's parents are really rich. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say that, but Lorelai did choose a much less fortunate life and much less fortunate little world for her to raise Rory in, which we'll find out how Emily feels about that. But this is kind of the world where this shed exists. And when Emily sees the shed, this is the first time she sees it, and Rory is showing her the shed and everything inside with a lot of glee. She just seems really happy and reminiscing, and it seems like she looks back on those days as maybe as if she were wearing rose-colored glasses. You know how they say, I guess if you look at something with rose-colored glasses, you are ignoring the negatives and you're looking at it in a very wistful, nostalgic, and positive way. And that really feels like what Rory is experiencing now when she's back in this shed where she grew up. And Emily, on the other hand, is not pleased at all. And she actually needs to step out because she's just really overtaken by emotion. And meanwhile, at the Dragonfly Inn, Lorelai and Rachel are hanging out, and Lorelai tells Rachel that she and Suki, they dream of owning their own inn someday, so this is very exciting for her to possibly, or for her to just consider that the Dragonfly Inn could be a future for her and Suki. And then Rachel gets to talking about Luke, and she actually mentions that she is looking to settle down with Luke and really take the next step, which from what we know about Rachel, that's pretty uncommon for her and very unusual for her, because we know that she likes to run around and move from place to place. She can't really be tied down, but she really seems to be convinced that now is the time for her and Luke, and she wants to settle down. And she actually takes Lorelai to Luke's apartment, which, by the way, how did you guys feel about Luke's apartment? Did you think it was kind of, was it exactly what you expected? Or, I don't know, for me, I didn't expect that he would live in an apartment, and it definitely doesn't feel like an apartment. It's very big, and you can also tell that Rachel has taken over a little bit, where she's hanging all of her photos everywhere, and it feels like a blend of both of their personalities. But yeah, I'm curious what you all thought. And Rachel explains that typically, just based on her behavior patterns of what she's done in the past, now would be the time when she would just flee and move to a different town. But her feelings for Luke are so strong, and she really feels like her feelings are the primary reason why she actually wants to stay in Stars Hollow now. And she's just concerned because she knows that Luke won't believe her because she's run away so many times, and she's just worried that Luke isn't going to hold on to her, and he's not going to leave her when she says she wants to settle down with him. So she actually asks Lorelai to put in a good word for her with Luke the next time they see each other. And Lorelai agrees. But it is kind of weird. I mean, everything is getting crossed on top of each other. I mean, I don't really think that Lorelai would be the best person, just considering that Luke seems to have feelings for her. Maybe she has some feelings for him. I don't know. It's just all a little bit complicated. But nevertheless, Lorelai agrees that she's going to try to convince Luke that Rachel is going to stay this time. And so she does actually talk to Rachel. She does talk to Luke, and she's trying to get through to him, and we'll see where that goes in future episodes. But just transitioning a little bit back to the next family dinner, or Friday night family dinner, Lorelai and Rory, they come in, and Emily is just all excited. I mean, Lorelai, I think Lorelai thinks that she's drunk or something. She's just so peppy and just kind of acting really wacky. Not that being drunk makes you peppy, but you guys know what I mean. And Emily reveals that she has transformed Lorelai's old room into a room for Rory whenever Rory visits. She has put some NSYNC posters, 98 Degrees posters. They're all framed, by the way, which is so funny. And Hello Kitty notepads. She says, what else did she put? Just by what I can remember of the way the room looked, there was a lot of pink, a lot of decorations going on. She really went out of her way to try to figure out what the kids are doing these days and what they're into, and then decorate the room accordingly. And Lorelai is somewhat okay with it. I mean, it is her old room, but it's not like Lorelai is going to stay there anymore. But the real reason why Emily is acting kind of strange is because she's actually very upset about how like what I was talking about with the shed earlier. She's just upset that Lorelai chose to run away and just escape the really good life that she had with her parents. And I say really good, there were definitely a lot of emotional issues going on there, but in terms of financially, it was definitely a better option to live with her parents and just figure it out with them. But instead, she chose to go live on her own with Rory in a sort of rundown shed. And that really offended Emily. And it really made her feel like her daughter was just abandoning her. And I guess it made her feel like she wasn't appreciated. And that Lorelai didn't want to be near her. So there's a lot of emotions going on behind the surface or under the surface. And I really like the scene at the very end when Rory and Lorelai are walking around Stars Hollow at the end of the day. And Rory asks Lorelai whether she and Emily are ever going to work through all this history and all this pain and emotions that have gone between them. And Lorelai basically says that she doesn't see any point in trying to work through it because it would never end well. And I really feel like these kinds of tensions or situations where when someone's a kid, I mean, Lorelai was literally a kid, they do things that don't make their parents happy, and then those are things that you can work through. I feel like she was a child, so you can't really expect that she's going to stay the same forever. People can change. Even Emily can change. You know, people are always growing. So I think there's no reason why they shouldn't just try to talk it out and work through it. And I really appreciate that that Rory brought it up with her mom and just asked her straight out, are you guys going to work through any of this? Because it's like every time they go over to dinner, there's something that gets brought up and then just causes somebody to just boil over and for something from the past to be brought up. So I have hope for them. I feel like just in terms of the writing of the show, I feel like the fact that they brought it up, I'm sure that they will work on this complicated relationship between Emily and Lorelai. I'm sure it's gonna improve over the years and over the seasons. And honestly, that is one of the reasons why I keep watching, is really just for, I guess, in the hopes of seeing all these relationships improve and grow over time. So I'm wondering if you all feel similarly, if that's one of the reasons why you all keep watching. I would love to know. And yeah, my final thoughts, I would just say that in general, it's really exciting to see this new inn and all the possibility and potential that it has. because there is another scene later on where Suki is, Suki, Lorelai, and Rory, they're all talking about where they're going to put stuff, where they're going to put the kitchen, how they're going to remodel it or renovate it. And that's all very exciting. And I can't wait to see where that goes. So for the fun facts today, I saved something very special for you guys because I wanted to talk about this character for a very long time. Specifically because this episode is very centered around this character, and I might as well just give it away, but we're going to be talking about Emily Gilmore and Kelly Bishop, who played Emily on the show. And specifically, I'm really excited just because she is my favorite character on the show by a long shot. And I'm curious what you all feel about her, who is your favorite character, and let's just jump right into it. I've been waiting a while to talk about her. So Kelly Bishop, she actually started out as a dancer and she started getting more and more acting roles. And once she was more, I guess, more mature, she was slowly being offered more and more mother figure roles. Specifically after her big role in Dirty Dancing as Baby's mom, if you all have seen that movie, she was being offered a lot more mother roles and just being typecast pretty much, which we actually see that a lot in, for example, in Lauren Graham's career, who I talked about on a previous episode. She has played a lot of mothers in her career, and I guess some people like it, some people don't. They don't want to be typecast maybe because they want more variety. Other people feel like they're just in their element, and honestly, I think viewers and audiences like familiarity, so we like seeing the same actors and actresses in similar roles. But anyway, not to get too off track, so I would say that Dirty Dancing and then Gilmore Girls, those are her two big roles that she's most famous for. Now, going into her role as Emily, I was actually listening to a podcast episode where there's a video version of it on YouTube that I will link in the show notes. But she was saying that she personally doesn't like wealthy, obnoxious people in real life, but she chose to play Emily exactly that, pretty much, as, and these are her words actually. She says she chose to play Emily as awful and as hateful as possible, at least on the exterior. And I thought that was really interesting that she described Emily as being awful and hateful, because I think in terms of how her portrayal turned out and how she comes across once you actually watch the show, she's given a lot more depth than that. And so it's, I would definitely call her more complex than just awful. And a lot of the time she isn't even awful. She's just kind of struggling with a lot of complex emotions. It's hard to put into words exactly, but so anyway, she based her portrayal of Emily on her own grandmother, who she was kind of laughing about this in the interview, but she said that her own grandmother wouldn't let you call her grandma. You had to call her by her first name. So there was this distance between her and her grandmother that you definitely can see in her portrayal of Emily as being somewhat cold and keeping everyone at an arm's distance, pretty much. And another personal connection that she had to the show was that she could relate a lot to Lorelai and Rory's relationship, because she had a similarly close relationship between her and her own mother growing up, which I really love to hear that. And another connection with Lauren Graham and her upbringing, as I said in the Lauren Graham episode, I forget exactly which one it was, but she also said that she and her father had a similarly close relationship to Lorelai and Rory, and that's what she based her portrayal of Lorelai on. So it's very cool to see all these actors having some personal little touch that they can give to their role. And she also talked about how Emily feels very safe in her traditions. She lives in a big house. She is always very proper and rigid, and she's very difficult to please. She's cold. But underneath it all, she was able to find a vulnerability. And when I say she, I mean Kelly was able to find a vulnerability to the character that just makes her feel very real and more than just this villain. I know some people talk about her maybe as being the villain. I don't know. But I see her as very far from that. And she has a lot of depth that makes her feel more human, if anything. And I also want to give her a lot of credit because I think Kelly is one of the stronger actors on the show. I know I don't really talk about this too much, and I mean, what do I know? I guess just as a viewer and someone who enjoys watching the show, I like to notice a few things about how strong different actors are, I guess. And my primary way of determining how good an actor is just how much they can move me emotionally. Because the writing is all there, the writing is all good, and everyone's working with similar material, but there is definitely some standout characters and standout actors to me. And for me, Kelly Bishop is really one of them. And I think she's the strongest actor on the show. And yeah, every time I see her on screen, I'm just really drawn to her for some reason, very emotionally moved. And yeah, I think that's just why I love her so much. And I would love to know if you all can relate to that, or if there's someone else that you feel you have a stronger connection to. I would love to know. So with that, I know this is a little bit of a shorter episode today. I hope it wasn't too disorganized. I feel like I was kind of just talking and maybe not editing as much, but I just wanted to talk and have a good time. So I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, the title for next episode is P.S. I love, and it just has a dot, dot, dot. But I guess it's a play on P.S. I love you, which I'm super excited to watch and super excited to talk about. And I hope you have a great 2 weeks. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of My Comfort Show. If you're enjoying it so far, I would love it if you gave me a rating on Apple Podcasts. It makes me super happy. You can also find me on Instagram at My Comfort Show. I look forward to talking again in 2 weeks. Bye. Thank you.